Good morning. Did you see the countdown? Oh, well done. And everyone's pretty much ready for the countdown. I want to read this verse this morning to start calling us into a place of worship and getting ready to praise God this morning. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 25. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Amen. Some great verses in there, isn't there? I'm going to invite you, please, to stand. We're going to celebrate the great things that the Father has done for us. See what the Father has done. The words to start this chorus. See how, that's the second verse. Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. Please stand if you're able and join us as we sing this together.
Please be seated. God has done great things from generation to generation for thousands of years. Do you often think about that? It's something which, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking about a bit more these days. And one of the features of God's greatness is his people worship him. And people have been worshiping him, as Karen read to us from that psalm at the beginning, for those hundreds, yea, thousands of years. And most of the time they do it with music. Music helps us to lift our voices in praise and to acknowledge the greatness and the goodness of God. Why am I saying all this? Because we've got something extra to help us with our music now. In case you hadn't noticed, our pianist has got a different instrument to play. So she's got no excuses now. Sorry, Judy. But yes, as part of our worship team, we now have this beautiful piano. And again, its purpose is simply to bring honour and glory to God and to help us in our praise to the God that we love, the one who does great things again and again and again. And we've sung there about he breaks every chain. We're going to finish with that theme right at the end of the meeting. But that's sort of bypassing all that Tim's got to share with us. Let's pray together now. And I want to firstly pray that God will bless the ongoing use of this piano. Our Heavenly Father, you do great things. And because of your greatness, we want to worship you and honour you. And we do that in a dozen and one different ways. But one of those ways is focusing our thoughts upon you and allowing our hearts and sometimes our voices to join with our hearts in singing praises to you. And we pray that the use of this piano will bring honour and glory to you as it is used to help us sing those praises to you. I pray for all those who will use it in the years which lie ahead. And there'll be a whole lot of different uses put to it. But at the end of the day, Lord, we want that it will always bring honour and glory to you. And so we dedicate it to you for your glory this day. And as we come into your presence in this place, we want that there'll be a sense in which we discover your call to each of us to live lives that bring honour and glory to you. You do great things. You break chains. The list goes on and on of all that we are blessed because of who you are. And so we offer our prayers to you today and ask that you will simply presence yourself in our midst. And we will be attuned to what your spirit might say to us. And that we will have spirits that are willing to obey what your spirit says to us. And I ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Well, welcome. If you're visiting today, I've seen a few faces of people visiting. Welcome, welcome. And there's some people we haven't seen for a while, and we want to say welcome back. Hope you saw when you came in signs that said welcome home and welcome here to church. It's great to have you all here. We've got a few of our regular people away today. Keep Mari in your prayers. She had some eye surgery on Friday and has come through very well, but is needing some rest time. COVID-19, we are still under regulations for that, and so that will explain on the newsletter the instructions about complying to COVID regulations. As you came in, you would have given your name at the register and clean your hands if necessary. So please remember the things like if you've got a cough or a cold or unwell, please don't bring those things here. We would like to keep well. Thank you. The next thing, this afternoon is Picnic in the Park. So every third Sunday of the month, I've written down every third Sunday of the month, which is today, we have a good time to join in the park. So if you aren't doing anything for lunch and you want to come down, we invite everyone from all of our community activities, everyone from church, come on in and have a nice time, but bring your own lunch, please, because I'm not doing loaves and fishes trick this afternoon. On Friday the 5th of... No, sorry, go back to this. Oh, I just can't keep up with my thing this morning. House of Prayer this afternoon at 4 p.m. It's a real privilege to join together to be able to pray and to be able to pray specifically for things that you want to bring before God. So if you have a prayer request, the table out in the foyer, there's some slips there and a box. So please write down your prayer requests, put them in the box, and we will be praying for you. And be assured that your confidentiality is respected in that place. It's just, as I said, a real privilege to be able to bring those things before God. And speaking of prayer, World Day of Prayer is an annual event with combined churches from Caloundra. And this year, the topic is Build on a Strong Foundation. It'll be on Friday the 5th of March at the Anglican Church at King's Beach. So you are all welcome. It traditionally was a women's day of prayer. Now it's not a women's day of prayer, it's for everyone. So all are welcome. That weekend is really busy because the 5th is the World Day of Prayer. The 6th is men's breakfast. Now there's no details there because it's in a state of flux and all the exciting details are yet to be announced. But you can put it on your calendar, Saturday the 6th of March for men's breakfast. This is exciting. Flourish. It has been 12 months since we've met for Flourish, and so we're excited about joining together. We will be meeting for International Women's Day, and if you like, you can wear something with an international flavour. If you've got a traditional dress from another costume, or you want to wear something that makes you feel French, there's a bit of a French theme there, wear something like that. And we're going to be treated to lots of yummy things from different places. Supper's provided. This is something it's great to invite your friends to come along to if you've got some friends that live in your neighbourhood. And ladies, it'll be a great night of celebration together. $5 for that. A way out. If we haven't seen you in the last few weeks, we're in the midst of a sermon series called A Way Out, that God always provides for us a way out. When we've got temptation, we are experiencing trouble, God always provides a way out. Tim's speaking to us this morning. And lastly, our self-denial appeal we launched last week, and in a minute we're going to watch the video from our first place, which is Brazil, a lovely story of a lady, Christina, who lived that experience herself. She lived in a favela, like a slum area in Brazil. She experienced God there. She now does that by having children's activities in this place. So it's a great story of transformation where you know what God did for your life, so you're going to do it for someone else. Anyway, we will enjoy that. I just want to let you know that our goal is $32,000. So this year, from our church here, we want to be giving to the Salvation Army for International Projects $32,000. That was our goal last year, but we were interrupted by some little inconvenience called COVID-19. And this is what we want to aim for. So be prayerful over the next few weeks as you watch these videos. Be challenged by them. I find them very challenging. And speak to God about what He would have you do in that time. So I'm going to leave you now with this video. We're going to watch Christina.
They say the Salvation Army is the heart of this community. Every day, we welcome over 200 people through our doors, sharing the love of Jesus and offering a safe haven amongst the violence and crime. Vila dos Pescadores is not far from São Paulo, the biggest city in Brazil. For over 30 years, we have been in this community, helping anyone in need and sharing the gospel without discrimination. Everyone here calls me Auntie Cristina, and I have been a Salvationist from my mother's womb. 30 years ago, I was living in a house built on stilts over the river. I didn't have much, but I felt called to help the children of the favela. I started the first children's program in my living room. Children would come from all around, and soon my living room was overcrowded and the house was sinking into the water. The Salvation Army and community embraced this mission, and we have continued to expand over the years to now offer a number of programs and ministries. But we are still focused on sharing God's love with the children. In Brazil, children go to school for half the day, so there is a need for teaching and supervision for the other half. We can accommodate 240 children each day and have a long waiting list for others who would love to attend. We also teach the children many things and about caring for their health, avoiding drugs, and human trafficking. Our activities are what the children love the most. We do craft, dance, but the favorite is karate. It's important we build positive relationships with parents, so we have regular meetings, health training, and visits to their homes. The parents tell of how the Salvation Army has helped their children and transformed their whole families. In the center, we also have a clothing shop, lunches for the homeless, and always looking for new ways to share the love of Jesus and help those in need. The community has great respect for the Salvation Army, and they know that everything we do is through the love of God. My own three children are now adults, and two of them now work here with me. Over the years, many hundreds of young people have come through this program. We have been able to show them a good path in life and show them the love of God. I thank God for this project, all that it has brought to my family and this community.
The Salvation Army is showing the love of Jesus and helping people who are experiencing hardship here in Brazil. Vila dos Pescadores is one of the many corps around the world that use self-denial funds to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in His name without discrimination. Please give 1 week's salary to this year's self-denial appeal. Muito obrigado por sua doação sacrificial. Thank you very much for your sacrificial gift.
Okay, does anyone have any news or lost teeth or birthdays that they want to share?
I think my birthday is 2 weeks away.
Yeah. And how old are you going to be turning?
12.
Whoa. Cool. Sophie's birthday is less than 2 weeks away. She's going to be turning 12. Do you have any news, Imani? You put your hand up. Imani started a new kindy this week. Okay. Who else had their hand up? Kira?
Me and Cinder have new schools. Cinder has a starting of school. She has finished kindy and I have a new school.
Awesome. So Kira's got a new school. Do you want to tell everyone your new school and what grade you're in?
I'm in year one and I'm going to ask Cinder knows the school really well, and I forgot what its names I'm going to ask Cinder.
Calandra, hi.
Calandra,
hi. Calandra.
Caloundra State School. Yay! That's exciting. And we've got Annika. We've missed you, Annika. So good to see you and have you here. Did anyone else have any news they wanted to share? We've been there. We've tried. Okay, so while we're sharing things, I wanted to ask you guys if anyone has got a special talent or a unique talent that you guys can do. You know how sometimes there's those people that have got those really unique talents and... No? Do you have one, Kira? Yeah? Do you want to show everyone what you can do? Or tell everyone what you can do?
Tell everyone. On the swing set at home, I can do handstands on it.
Wow, handstands on a swing set. That is a special talent.
And then bring yourself up and then you hold on upside down.
Wow, that is a super duper talent. Can anyone out there do a really special talent that they want to share with everyone? No, not today. Sophie, can you do any talents?
I can sort of do Japanese.
Oh, she can sort of do Japanese. That's a talent. Another language. Yeah, can you say anything in Japanese?
Yeah, iedetakaimasu means we receive humbly, and arigato means thank you, and sasumen means excuse me, something like that.
Cool. So yeah, that's a talent to learn another language. Does anyone else know any languages or multiple languages? I know Jeremy's learning multiple languages, isn't he? That's talented. All right, so what... Oh. Jacinda?
I want to do it.
You want? Oh, you want to do your special talent? Okay. Do you want to go down down there?
Just me a
car. Aww. Okay, maybe you could show us the talents outside. So when we go out for Kids Zone, we're going to be talking about God and how God can give us all... Oh, wow, that is talented. Yeah, I couldn't do that. No, can anyone else do that here? Oh, Kira can. We'll have to practice when we go out there because a few of you say you can do that. That's really cool. So we're going to go out and talk about God giving us all our own special unique talents and how when we use them, we can step out in faith and God can bring glory to God through our talents and for his kingdom. So that sounds really exciting, hey? Yeah. Cool. All right, now let's stand on up and we're going to go outside, but we're not going to high five anyone, but maybe you could air high five a couple of people on the way out.
It's enjoyable watching the kids, isn't it? We're very blessed to have them. We're going to have our offering this morning, and we're going to use a song that some of you might be familiar with. We used it last week as a clip for our offering, but today we're going to sing it, and I invite you to join with us. Just remain seated and sing along with us as you come to know it. But this is the song, Waymaker. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. You are, here's a whole lot of things, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is what you are. It's a great way to acknowledge God. And as you give of your tithes and offerings this morning, I invite you to join us as we sing this.
Move.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Again, we've sung this a few times in the last month or so. And again, it reminds us of God's presence with us. And again, our desire that we connect with him and we worship him.
Today's Bible reading is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 to 25, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Living by the Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite to what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealous, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living with that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those that belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Good morning. Are you enjoying the series, A Way Out? Have you found your way out yet? Well, if you haven't, I'm going to give you some more things to think about to find your way out. The key verse that we've been talking around is based around 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13, that God is faithful and that he will always show us a way out. When we are tempted, he will always give us a way out so we can endure. And this is week three. So Karen has spoken about, I do, can you throw that up there? So Karen has spoken about last week, about fighting temptation, about eliminating temptation, about, remember she said you've got to stay out of the left lane. If the left lane takes you to that place that you know you shouldn't be, just stay out of the left lane. Move away from that thing that draws you to temptation. And she also spoke to us about that temptation starts with our thoughts, and then it leads to our actions, and it leads to sin. So if we capture every thought, if we allow Jesus to capture every thought, then that is another way out of temptation. But this week I'm going to talk to you about living by the Spirit, because there's another step. There's another step that goes beyond saying no, and that's saying yes. You say no to some things, but you say yes to other things. Some things... well, everything, actually, this is a life principle. If you feed something, it will grow. Or it should. If you bring a plant home and you look after it and you care for it and you nourish it, it'll grow. But if you starve it, it will die. Now, some of you may not have green thumbs and maybe you can do everything you can and that plant will die anyway. I'm very sorry for you. But that is the principle. That'll work in your life. If you feed yourself, you'll grow. If you starve yourself, you'll shrink. Well, that's how it's supposed to work as well. But that's how it works with temptation, with those areas of our life, those areas that we know that we shouldn't be a part. If we continually go back to it, if we continually feed it, if we continually look to it, it will become a place that will grow that we don't want to grow. But if we starve that area of our life and we look to other things and we find fulfillment in other places in God, then that will grow. That will shrink and we will grow. We'll grow closer to God. So I just want to remind you of our definition of temptation. Temptation is anything that promises fulfillment at the cost of trusting God. Now, Pat read to us a big list of the anythings. Maybe you can relate to some of those anythings from Galatians. Some of them sounded pretty bad. But you know what? It doesn't have to be those particular things. It can be anything that promises fulfillment, anything that we think we might get a bit of satisfaction out of, but instead of that, even though that might look like that, what it ends up doing is drawing us away from God, drawing us into sin. We don't trust God for our way of life. We trust in this thing again. This thing will get me through again. When I'm down, I'll go to this thing. When I'm up, I'll go to this thing. I'll just go to this thing. Anything that promises fulfillment. And some of us have a thing. that we keep going back to, and we don't know why, and we really we struggle with that. But God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Have a think about that for a moment. He will not allow it. The creator of the universe has a promise to you that he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out. How good is that? I don't think we really can comprehend that and get our head around that. God will show you a way out so that you do not have to fall. You do not have to give in to that temptation so that you can endure. So we need to say no to some things. We need to say yes to other things. But sometimes when we say no, when we say no, we say no, we fixate on that thing. And we find that we just, our whole our thoughts are totally consumed by this thing that we're saying no to. And so we find that that's all we can think about. If I ask you to close your eyes now, close your eyes and not think of a pink elephant. Don't think of a pink elephant. Any of you thought of a pink elephant? It's funny how a brain works that way. When my kids were little, they were finishing off their dinner and I said, now you can sort yourself out, I've got something to do. And I just had a throwaway line as I left. I said, like, when I came back, you know, you'll be fine. And I don't want to see any food on the ceiling when I come back. You know, you just be good and look after yourself. Guess what they did? That seed was planted and I came back and they had food on the ceiling. They never thought that they should put food on the ceiling until I told them, don't put food on the ceiling. And it's like that with us as well. Sometimes we struggle with the things that we should do and the things that we shouldn't do. And I talked about this in week one. Paul says, I want to do good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. I don't know, for a lot of us, that's our experience. We have good intentions, but we fall down. And then we don't want to do this one thing. We keep coming back to it. Maybe the good thing that you thought about is you want to read your Bible. That's a great thing to do. And so you make a plan and you make a space and you make a time and it works for the first day, maybe for the second day. And then all of a sudden a week goes by and you haven't gone near your Bible. I want to do good, but I don't. Or maybe you've said, I'm in a bit of financial difficulty. I want to set a budget. I want to get out. And so you do all the paperwork and you talk to the right people. And then the next day you're out at the shops. You're in the left lane and you turn, you go past the shoe store and there's that shoe that is on sale. You know it'll blow the budget, but you buy it anyway. You want to do good, but you don't. Or maybe you want to exercise. I'm going to start walking. How good will that be? And you go to bed and you look at your app, the Bureau of Meteorology, and it says there's a 10% chance of rain tomorrow. And you think, well, I've just bought some new shoes. I don't want to wreck them. Some new walking shoes. And so you go, oh, maybe I'll start the day after. Now, Karen says some people look at the bomb, some people look out the window to gauge what the weather's going to be like. But it doesn't take much sometimes, does it, to get us off task. But there's also the things that we don't want to do, but we do anyway. Maybe you say, look, this week is going to be my best week ever. I'm just going to stay away from that food that I know that I shouldn't eat. Then you wander over to the cupboard and you go, oh, just one chip. And the next thing you know, you're throwing the whole packet into the bin because you've the empty packet because you've consumed it all. I didn't want to do it, but I didn't do it anyway. Or maybe it's anger. And you're sitting down and before you know it, something comes on the television and it upsets you and that new shoe that you bought, you've thrown it at the TV and you've yelled at the person next to you. I don't know what it is for you. That one thing that you don't want to do, and you know what it is for you, but you do it anyway. So we're going to talk about how you have victory over that. How you can have victory over that by living by the Spirit. You see, the reason why this happens, and it happens for everyone, because there's a war going on inside you. There's a war between your natural self, your fleshly self, and the Spirit. And Pat read to us that the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. We have our own desires, our own urges. But the Spirit wants something different. It wants something better for us. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions and you can feel like you're trapped. You can feel like there is no way out. But there is. Paul says, So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Live by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. You'll be doing what God asks you to do. Now, last week, Karen spoke to us from James chapter 4. And she said, she gave us two really good steps about how we can find our way out. Do you remember what they were? The first one was to submit to God, to humble yourselves before God. Submit yourselves to God. And then to resist the devil and he will flee from you. And they're two really good steps. But as I said, saying no, 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 no sometimes doesn't work. We need a yes space. We need to move into something else. And that yes space is to draw near to God. Come near to God and he will come near to you. We need the presence of God in our life. We need the fellowship of God in our life. And that happens with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, what do I mean by the Holy Spirit? Maybe you've never heard of the Holy Spirit before. I hope that you have. If you're a Christian, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. 1 John 4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's the Spirit of Jesus. That's the Spirit of God. Romans 8 says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. You have the Holy Spirit of God in your life. The Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the presence of Jesus. When Jesus was talking to the disciples in the upper room, before he was to face the trauma of the trial and the crucifixion and his death, he gave them these instructions. He said, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. These things that are about to happen, it's actually a good thing. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. That is the Holy Spirit, the Helper. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to you, to be in close fellowship with you. That word, the Helper, in Greek, it's paraclete, and it means different things, can mean different things. And the Amplified Version has translated that for us, Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby. And he also, and he, when he comes, he will convict the world about sin and the need for a Saviour. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us. And when we are tempted, he gives us an assurance, he gives us a peace that we don't have to succumb, that there is a way out. The Holy Spirit convicts us about our need for a Saviour. He convicts us about sin. He convicts us that we need to stay away from that left lane. Danger, danger. Come back towards God. That's the Holy Spirit's voice when you hear that in your life. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit prompts us. The Holy Spirit leads us. And the Holy Spirit strengthens us. He gives us the strength to be able to overcome, to have the victory. That is the Holy Spirit in your life. Are you aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? That's my question today. It's my first question. Are you aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life? Would you like to have the awareness of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life? Maybe that's a better question. So we're going to just pause just for a moment and pray and ask for the Holy Spirit's presence to be upon us. We've already sung, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. But we need individually each to invite the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to invite you now just to put your hands out, just as a simple gesture, to receive the Holy Spirit and pray this prayer with me. Holy Spirit, I don't want to journey through life on my own. I need your presence, your comfort, your help. Come, Holy Spirit. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we need to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit because we can't do it by ourselves. We are powerless by ourselves. And you know that that's true. If you ever tried to do something and found that you failed at it when you relied on your own strength, even though you had the best of intentions, as we've already talked about, because we need something more. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul writes in Romans, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Your sinful nature urges you to splurge. Your sinful nature might urge you to merge. But you don't need to do those things. You are under no obligation. And if you do live by your sinful nature, Paul warns, if you live by its dictates, you will die. Now, who can agree with me that there's sin thrills? There's something about it, though, isn't there? There's something about the excitement of it, the rush of it. If you were genuinely honest with me, you would agree that there is an excitement about sin. That's why it lures us. That's why it draws us. But that's not the end of the story. Sin thrills and then it kills. Sin thrills and then it kills. Now, there's a story of a frog in a pot of water. Do you know this story? The frog, he jumped into the pot and it was lovely and it was cool and he was really enjoying himself. But then that pot, it made its way to the stove. And someone put the stove on and slowly the temperature rose until eventually that frog boiled. It didn't even notice because it was still enjoying it, still thought it was in the right sort of environment. Sin thrills and then it kills. But it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be like that. Paul says, but if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can jump out of that pot. We might think that it's actually quite nice, but we realize that we're actually slowly dying. But the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death, you starve that part of yourself that is not of God, that promises fulfillment but actually pulls you away from God, then you will live. Now, Karen talked to us briefly as well last week about AA, and I don't have a lot of experience with AA. I know some of you guys do. The first two steps of the 12 steps are about admitting that you don't have any power over this thing, this substance that is controlling you, but that there is a way out, there is a power. And the first two steps say this: we admit we were powerless over alcohol, but our lives had become unmanageable. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. But you can put anything in that space. That thing that you keep coming back to over and over again. The first step is to admit that it has power over you, that you are powerless against it, but there is a power that can overcome. And that power for you as a Christian is the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to invite you to pray another prayer. I'm just going to ask you to do this just between you and God, just quietly. Father, I admit that I'm powerless over. What is that thing that keeps coming back to plague you that you can't find a way out of? Maybe it's worrying about where the money's going to come from, or about the world, or about COVID. Maybe that's the thing that consumes you. Maybe it's about material stuff. Maybe it's about substances. Maybe it's about relationships that you know that you shouldn't be in. I admit that I'm powerless over this thing, but I believe that the power of your Spirit will heal and make me whole. Holy Spirit, make me whole. Just spend a moment praying this prayer. Holy Spirit, make me whole. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit leads us, we will go. Paul finishes that part of Galatians, that part of the letter, and he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross. They have starved them. They've said no to them. They've crucified them there. And they live by the Spirit. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's keep close to the Spirit in every part of our lives. Now, I like to walk. Karen and I like to walk. Karen likes to stick to the path. I like to find out where that little trail goes. And often I find myself in a dead end, wondering where I am, amongst the brambles and the thorns. And cut and bruised, I wander out and find my way back to the path. But once, a few years ago, I was at Kokoda. And there's a path, there's a trail, right? But there's more than one trail. Did you know there's multiple Kokoda trails? Well, you should, because you can get lost very easily. You have a guide out the front when you walk the Kokoda Trail, or you should, because it's a jungle. You're walking through a jungle, over mountains, through rivers, and you need to keep your eye fixed on the person in the lead, sometimes step by step, walking in their footsteps. That's how we need to walk with the Spirit. We need to keep in step with the Spirit. At one stage, I got lost. It was a part where the group had stretched out a bit. I couldn't see anybody in front of me. I couldn't see anybody behind me. And I came to a fork in the road. Well, what do you do when you come to a fork in the road and you don't have anywhere to go? Well, you make a choice. What do, Rob? You flip a coin. That's one way to do it. I chose the left lane. And I should have known that was the wrong way to go. And I wandered around and around and around, and eventually I found my way back again. But that's what happens when we lose touch. We need to follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Now, how do we know? How do we know it's the Spirit's leading and not our own little voice in our head telling us to do this or do that? I was talking to Jess through the week about this, that I was going to speak on this, and she says, well, how do you know? How do you know it's not the thing that you want rather than the thing that what God wants for your life? Well, fairly obviously, the Holy Spirit will not lead you into sin. So if you found that little voice is taking you along the left lane to that place where you don't want to go, that is not the Holy Spirit. That is you talking yourself into that thing. The Holy Spirit will never ask you to do anything that doesn't align with what the Scripture says as well. So when you find yourself reading the Bible and you read a verse and it jumps out at you as though it's alive, that's the Holy Spirit prompting you. That's God speaking to you. When you find yourself drawn to have a conversation with someone and at the end of it, you say, wow, that was such a God moment. That was you being obedient to the Holy Spirit's prompting. When you find yourself praying and listening and the name pops into your mind and then you share with them the next day, you know what? I was praying and God asked me to pray for you, and that person says, thank you. I was asking God for this thing in my life and I just needed power and I felt a strengthening at that time. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you, Holy Spirit prompting you. I was in a conversation on Friday with a group of guys. One of them was telling me about recently a situation that happened with his wife. They've moved up to the Sunshine Coast. She was a psychologist and there was a doctor surgery right near where they lived. And she felt God very clearly telling her that she needed to work in that place. And so she turned up there, dressed in the sort of things that you would turn up for a job interview with a resume. And then she felt God saying, no. No. They thought that was very odd because she was fairly convinced that this was the right thing to do. But she was obedient. She put that aside. So she walked past that doctor's surgery many times because it was right near the shops. 10 months later, she's on her way home from doing the shopping. She's got a whole stack of bags and she's walking to the car. And she's just dressed for going home and cooking the dinner. And then she hears the Holy Spirit tell her yes. She was a little bit annoyed because the timing wasn't very, you know, good for her. But she was obedient. She put those bags of groceries in the car and she walked in just as she was and she said, I'm a psychologist. Can I speak to the owner? And the owner came down and he said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Come tomorrow, we'll talk about you starting straight away. She found out that week the psychologist that was there had left them in a bind. The timing was right. If she'd gone in 10 months earlier, they would have said, nah, look, we're fine, we're not interested. But the timing was right and she found a job at the right place at the right time because she listened to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That can be your story too. I want you to give you a challenge this week. Every time you think God is speaking to you, every time you think the Holy Spirit is prompting you, every time you think God is guiding you, I want you to make a note. Every time a Bible verse jumps out at you, write it down. Every time you call to speak to someone and that turns into something more than just a conversation, write it down. Every time you pray for someone and you feel like the power of God is in that prayer, write it down. And if you find that that doesn't happen for you, just one thing I want you to do. Put aside 15 minutes and sit down and say, God, I want to feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit in my life. Please give me some names of people to pray for. Please give me some names of people that I know need you. I can guarantee you the Holy Spirit will speak to you in that space. You will hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do you want to be led by the Spirit? Do you want the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, I invite you to pray this prayer with me as well. Jesus, I want to be led by you to become like you. Holy Spirit, lead me away from temptation and show me the way out so I can endure. Guide my steps each day, I pray. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's what the word says. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God in your life. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. He gives me power. When we follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we walk in step with the Spirit. We follow the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Judy to come up now. Judy's going to play the words, music to the song that we're going to sing next, which is Holy Spirit Rain Down. O Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. And I've got that prayer, those three prayers that you prayed up there. Holy Spirit, I don't want to journey through life on my own. I need your presence, your comfort, your help. Come, Holy Spirit. I admit that I'm powerless over that thing. But I believe that through your power, I can be healed and made whole. I believe that through your power, I can be healed and made whole. There's a word there we don't need. Holy Spirit, make me whole. I want to be led by you to become more like Jesus. Lead me away from temptation. Show me a way out so that I can endure. Guide my steps each day, I pray. So as Judy plays that now, I invite you to pray this prayer. Just where you are, ask for the Holy Spirit's presence. Ask for his power. Ask for his prompting. And if you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you as you pray this, I invite you to come out and pray in a place of prayer. Maybe you want to sit or maybe you want to kneel and just spend some time between you and God. But if you feel like there's something that you want someone to pray you for, maybe it's the presence, maybe it's the power, maybe it is for the guiding of the Holy Spirit, then I just invite you to stand over here and someone will come and pray with you. Someone who has your best interest at heart, someone who wants to intercede for you before the Lord. So let's listen, let's pray, let's be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today as we contemplate his presence. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus, that you came and died for us so that we could live, and that when you left, you sent your Spirit to live amongst us, your Spirit that lives in us. Lord, I pray that you will give us victory over sin. Sin that can thrill, but we know that can kill. Sin that can fascinate, but will assassinate. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your power in our lives. Lord, help us to trust you for that power to make us whole and to heal us. Lord, thank you for your guiding and your leading. Lord, show us the way that we can walk in it throughout this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing that song now. Holy Spirit, rain down. The place of prayer is still open. It's still open. If you want to come and pray, by all means, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. If you want to spend some time, some longer time, considering what it means to have the Holy Spirit in your life, I would invite you to do that as well as we sing Holy Spirit Rain Down.
Join in our final song now. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Saviour, has ransomed me. Stand as we sing together about God's amazing grace, the gift of His Spirit in our lives.
But now
Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let's go and do that together. Please join us for morning tea and have a great discussion around the table.